Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Reading from Romans chapter 12, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep, be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to man of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil, providing things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Let's give thanks for these words and this instruction. If we would all do that better, there would be a better nation, a better world. Better homes, better churches. We are to give this in gratitude to God for what He has given us in salvation. As the first verse says, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service, all because of the mercy and grace of God in Christ. Our Father, we do come to Thee through Christ Jesus, giving thanks that Thou hast given Him, with a promise that Thou wilt hear us if we come in His name. We come not only in His name, but all that that name implies. He was called Jesus, because He shall save His people from their sins. That way of saving us, He went to the death of the cross. he shed his blood, suffering, and was mocked. But we give thanks that thou dost raise him from the dead for our justification. We pray, Father, that we might, because of Christ, know these things, not only as we can be forgiven because of him, but also created in him unto good works. We have a list of those good things that thou dost call us to do in thankfulness and praise, those that we should have done in the beginning according to the law, but now that we can only do them by the power of the gospel. And we pray, Father, that thou would revive us in the church more and more to live a life of thankfulness to thee, a life of humbleness before thee and before one another, that there might be reviving in the church, and then that there might be, through the church, awakening in the rest of the nation and the world, and especially our homes. We pray that the church will be revived in truth in such a way that it will know that it is guilty with the homes of the breaking of the homes. Thou hast said, what thou hast joined together, let not man put asunder. And the church has been part of being guilty with the homes and breaking and dividing. And we pray, Father, that we might see that and repent, first in the church and then leading by the church the homes of the nation, that we may see the seriousness of it and what it will do to our nation, what it is doing and what it will do in the future, and what it is doing to the next generation. The children in the broken homes, we pray especially for them, that thou wilt lead them. We give thanks that there's a word that thou canst lead them to and be a light on their path. And we pray that those that have a word in their homes will read it, believe it, and act on it, that it will give them repentance and faith and comfort. We pray, Father, that thou would give the blessings in many different needs. We think of those in the war-torn lands. We think of those being persecuted. We think of the homeless, both in our country, with the fires, the tornadoes, the floods earlier, and think of those in Haiti, the earthquakes, and we pray for all of them and their suffering. And we pray, Father, that thou would bless the means used for their help, but above all, that all of us together may know that we have here no abiding city, but to look for the city of whom thou art the builder and maker, and to seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness, with the promise that all these things will be added. We pray for those in sickness. We pray that thou would give healing to them, especially those with serious illness and death threatening, for it could be thy will that thou would give them healing, and those also that are suffering in other ways than some for many years. We pray that thou wilt still give them healing and blessing. We pray for those that are in hunger. We pray, Father, for the blessing on them, especially those dying in hunger, that they want the blessing of thy word before the hour of death. We pray for all these things and give thanks for what we have in and through Christ. Amen. As we continue in our study of Paul's exhortation, beginning the chapter, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We are to deny our bodies. Our flesh does not want the way of God. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But at the same time, we read that the body is the temple of the Spirit. We are not to grieve him and to quench him. Rather, present those bodies and crucifying the flesh, the wicked part of it, giving the right way to God in the different ways here that we do with our bodies. We saw last week the 11th verse, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. When we do that in business, we do it with our bodies, and oft times with other people. But where we began today, rejoicing in hope, even though there's much to be discouraged in ourselves. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But he had a hope. He had an answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when we read here, rejoicing in hope, Paul has dealt with that earlier in this same letter, in chapter 8, verse 23, and not only they, speaking of those, the creation that was groaning and travailing, he says, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. And that's why Paul can say, rejoicing in hope, there's a hope ahead. There's a hope that will be better things when we can leave this body of corruption. Paul makes that very plain when he wrote to the Corinthians, speaking of the hope that is ahead in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For our corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the hope that Paul was talking about when he said, rejoicing in hope. He explains this somewhat in his letter to the church at Rome, and that is more a hope that we have at the present time, and especially the hope of the help of the Spirit. We also read, going back to chapter 8, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not how we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts and knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Then he sums it all up, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So we see in all these things hope, rejoicing in hope, even though there's reason to be down, to be distressed, as Paul himself said, O wretched man that I am. But he had hope in Christ. Here we have hope that the Spirit maketh intercession for us. We read that twice of the Spirit, and we also read a little further in that 8th chapter of Christ making intercession for us in verse 34 of Romans chapter 8. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So, not only rejoicing in hope, but, as we read the last part of this 12th verse, continue instant in prayer. We don't do that as we should, but we can have a hope that the Spirit is making intercession for us. We read twice of him doing that. In verse 26, the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Then again, the last part of verse 27, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That is being done, and we can have a hope in that, that we might be included in that number for which the Spirit is making intercession, and especially also that Christ there on the right hand of God is making intercession for us right now. We need that all the time. We need that to think of this word rightly. We need it to do what this word tells us. We need Christ and his Spirit to rejoice in hope. We need Christ and his Spirit for the next statement, patient in tribulation. And then especially we need Christ in the last part of that 12th verse, continuing instant in prayer. Two things there. Continuing, do it all the time. Instant in prayer. The first thing, right now, always, instant in prayer. And then continuing. That's the way we should be. If we think of that, and we'll come back to it a little bit more later, we think of patient in tribulation. Tribulation might bring much prayer. And sometimes questions. Lord, why? Why does this happen? Tribulation is suffering, distress. Christ said, before the end would come, there would be greater tribulation than ever before. Some people are already experiencing that. The awfulness of the war in Ukraine brings much tribulation, much distress, much suffering. We can say that in some ways, tribulation also comes by persecution. Many are suffering in that way in Afghanistan, many countries in Africa. that are suffering terrible tribulation by the hand of the Islamic terrorists as they kill, kidnap, and burn the villages. An awful tribulation, just terrible, and how we need to pray for them. But for those that are in it, Paul's words here to them is patient in tribulation. Again, they can go back to the first race, rejoicing in hope, because in one way, this life may seem long and suffering, but another way is very short. And there's a long eternity ahead that will bring deliverance. There will be no more sin. There will be the full victory in Christ. Now we have it in forgiveness. Justification is absolute, but sanctification is in a changeable way. We can have great sanctification or do much, but also, as Christ himself warned the church of Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2, they had left their first love. Their sanctification was not what it had been earlier. They had left it and were not where they should be, in thankfulness, in love to God, and probably not love to each other either. We have these exhortations, rejoicing in hope, giving us comfort, patient in tribulation, also some comfort that God will in the end give deliverance. He also mentions persecution a little farther. As we said, sometimes persecution brings tribulation, but it's a promise. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. When they have outward suffering, they can have inward peace and joy, knowing, in comparison to eternity, the time is short, and especially what we deserve. What do we deserve? Hell. What a tribulation there. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Awful, but not worse than our sin. It's a punishment exactly according to our sin. And that will come for those that don't believe it today. Don't believe in deserving hell and repentance. Don't believe in Christ as the only way of deliverance, keeping us from perishing in hell. Thinking a little bit more about continuing instant in prayer. We think again of the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Thy wings shall my petition bear to Him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since He bids me seek His face, believe His word, and trust His grace, I'll cast on Him my every care and wait for Thee, Sweet Hour of Prayer. There's many things that we can do in prayer. Prayer should be praise. Prayer should be thankfulness. But it can also be asking, begging. And it certainly has to begin, especially with confession of sin. The publican was doing that, confessing and asking at the same time, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He was confessing he was a sinner. He was showing it in his attitude, smote upon his breast, and dared to look up in humbleness before God and asking for mercy. Asking. And he went to his house justified. God answers the prayer of the sinner. Christ tells us himself, he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The man next to him, the Pharisee, knew nothing of the calling of God. He wasn't invited. He wasn't invited to pray. He was praying thus with himself. That's all. He was alone. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's what we need to be. And as I've said many times before, this chapter here is to those who have learned their sin and now think of the mercy of God. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then coming back to instant in prayer, how much more we should do that. Continuing, I read where the church before the Great Awakening, in the time of Jonathan Edwards, was praying all night before the Great Awakening came. We read it of the apostles. They were in one accord in prayer and supplication, continuing in prayer. They probably went back and forth between the temple and the group praying, but they continued in that until the Holy Spirit was given. When we read, the day of Pentecost was fully come. Then the answer, and Christ had told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they would be endued with power from on high. They must have believed it and prayed for it together. And that's what we need too, in one accord. Then continue. And certainly we need to do it much more than we're doing it. In one accord, where do we begin? What all the division in the churches today? Terrible. 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 We need to begin by knowing more that we are sinners. That we are one with Paul. What he could call himself the chief of sinners. And we may believe that the apostles came to know that too. Before they were in one accord in prayer. They wouldn't have had that blessing before when they argued among themselves who was the greatest. They couldn't pray in one accord. They just wanted the best place, but not the blessing from God that could come alone to sinners. We have the encouragement here to continue instant in prayer. There will be an answer. And Christ gives us that encouragement when he was here on earth. We read in Luke chapter 18, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying there was in the city a judge which feared not God, nor regarded man, and there was a widow in that city. She came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. He would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual commoning she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry unto him day and night, though he bear long time with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. Do we have faith to continue in prayer? Do we have faith to pray to God day and night until an answer is given? And he gives an amazing answer here. He said, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Just before that, it says, those which cry to him day and night, though he bear long time with them. I think for those who are praying today, it has been a long time, probably since they had an answer. But it can come suddenly. Christ says here, he will avenge them speedily. Sometimes I've seen an answer to prayer almost unexpected. Not thinking of it. God did it speedily, right at the moment. And the promise is here, though he bear long time with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. There's only one thing that we need to question. Is there? Are we crying to God day and night? If we're not doing that, can we expect a speedy answer? Can we expect an answer at all? If we're half-hearted, if we only pray on occasion, we are told here by Paul, continuing instant in prayer. It's always. The first thing we ought to do is pray. I've had things ready that wouldn't go good, or lose something, and look for it, or want to try to do it, and then later think, oh, I should pray. Why not instant? Why not right away? Why not first? If we live by faith, we ought to talk to God about everything. If a child was walking with his parent and something troubled them, they'd probably say it right away. They want help from the parent. And we are that way. We are children of God if we have come in conversion to him in repentance and faith. Then we, from that time on, should continue instant in prayer. Always talk to God. Praise him. Ask him. Sometimes, using the prayer of the saints, we can take the Psalms, for example. They are a very good example of prayer in different ways. Sometimes praise, sometimes in anxiety, sometimes in confession. Psalm 51 especially. David confessed and said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this great evil in thy sight. He said, thou art right when thou judgest. But he said, also wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And the end of it was, after he prayed that the Spirit would not be taken away, and the joy of his salvation would be given back, he said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Then part of the Lord's Prayer will be answered. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. But we must be right with God ourselves first, if we are to be used for that blessing that honors God and is a help for our fellow man. We go on here, distributing to the necessity of the saints. there's much need of that for those that are suffering in Ukraine, in Africa, in Afghanistan. Much suffering for the people there. Even countries that are persecuting. I know people that are helping those in Iran that are suffering there and persecuted there. And it can be done. Here the command is distributing to the necessity of the saints. Further on, we also say that we are to help others as well. Verse 20, therefore if thy enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink, for so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. But the first should be distributing to the necessity of the saints. I think Paul brings it out in another letter. We are to give, but especially to the household of faith. And that he mentions first. We should do that. And there are ways which we can get what is needed for them. There are those that have contact to Iran. There are those that can give contact to ones that are suffering terribly on the Russian invasion and the Russian murdering, the terrible ways in which that war is conducted. They have much necessity of food and raiment, homes, and terrible suffering in awful ways. We need to do that. A statement along with it, given to hospitality to those in need. And that can be those far away, it can be those close at hand, and it can be in different ways. Not only in the physical needs of food and clothing and homes, but it can also be comfort, as we see here a little bit further. We are to rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. But first of all, let's think about the next verse, verse 14. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Bless them which persecute you. As we mentioned, there's much persecution. We could call the war there in Ukraine a persecution. There's hatred with it. It's more than just an army against an army. It's destroying, killing the people that are there, taking the homes away, destroying them. It is a persecution. Here it probably means mostly persecution for righteousness' sake, but it is both. Especially in Afghanistan, it is for righteousness' sake of those that are Christians there, where the Taliban is now in control. Can the Christians bless them? They certainly can pray God's blessing on them. There was probably people praying for Paul when he was persecuting, that God would stop him. I don't know if they had the faith to believe that he would actually become a preacher as he was, and he describes that, who before was a persecutor, injurious and blasphemer. Then God called him to make Christ known to especially the Gentile world. Bless them that persecute you, and curse not. That is God's way. Especially, we can think of it in light of what we read later of God taking care of those who are persecuting. He says in verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place for wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, it saith the Lord. So he shows us what we are to do. Especially, I would leave you with a thought, sweet hour of prayer, this robe of flesh shall drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize, and shalt while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel. Praise the Lord.